Welcome to Gravel Notes, your one-stop shop for everything rally, with our man Tom Howard, who's been reporting all weekend on another frantic weekend of action. Cali Rovanpera and his fifth win from seven World Championship rounds. It is, as Tom described it, a masterclass display. He defeated Toyota teammate Elfyn Evans at Rally Estonia over the weekend, the leader of the championship. Yet another stunning performance, despite starting first on the road. Changeable weather conditions, some of the onboards just make the hairs on the back of my neck stand on end on Estonia's fast gravel roads. And fast is an understatement. Here to tell us all about it, what an amazing weekend of rally, is our man Tom Howard. Wow, that was once again a weekend that absolutely delivered for some amazing racing.
Yeah, an incredible rally. Again, it's finding the words to describe Cali Rovanpera is now actually hard. I'm running out of adjectives. I'm running out of superlatives. Like, it's just, he's just unbelievable. Like, people are just genuinely stunned at what he's able to do. And it's the key to this is the wet weather. This is where he's making the most impact. When it gets difficult and extreme, he's on a different, as Jari Matti Latvala, the Toyota boss, said, he's on another planet. And he's absolutely correct, because there is no one can touch him. Nobody can absolutely touch it. If you need anything to sort of justify or the skill that Cali Rovanpera is able to produce, just go and watch the highlights from the power stage, because that, for me, is probably, that will be one of the drives of the season, because really, he didn't need to push. Had a massive lead already, but there's five bonus points up for grabs. It was absolutely ridiculously wet, to the point where Esa-Pekka Lappi actually described it as the craziest stage he's ever driven. That's how bad the conditions were. And he had the very similar conditions to Elfyn Evans, as they were only, you know, they were together in the road order. So Elfyn went slightly before him. So the conditions weren't that different. But Cali won the stage by 22.5 seconds over Evans, which is just unheard of. And I just don't know what to say anymore. Like, he's just defying belief of what he's able to do in that car at the minute.
And so that the car is reliable, but so is the consistency of the driver as well. Nothing seems, and he has had big offs. And coming through the series as well in WRC2, he had a big off a few years ago where he landed on top of a spectator's car. And so, you know, it's not like he is, you know, impervious to making a mistake. But this season, his consistency just seems to keep delivering and delivering.
Yeah, he's just, as I think we spoke about it before, I think this was in maybe Portugal, where we just said he's just in this sort of flow zone where everything he is doing is just coming up gold. You know, I think the best things to look at, and you have to remember that, you know, each driver has their different driving styles, but if you compare the onboards of him with Elfyn Evans, it looks like Cali's on a Sunday drive. Like, he's just so calm, so collected, and yet performing miracles and doing things that you just can't believe he's doing, whereas Elfyn is just on the ragged edge trying to get as much out of this car to try and keep up with Cali. As I said, no one really can explain it. It's he's on a different level. He's just at this point where he's so confident in the car, he's able to push where people just simply can't.
And people can't say, well, it's just the machinery is better, because he's beating his teammate, because it was a 1-2 for Toyota again this weekend, with Elfyn Evans coming home in second. Tanak, home hero Tanak, in the first of the Hyundais in third, followed home by the closest championship rival. What is he now? I made a note of it over the weekend. 80-odd points?
It's 83 points.
Neuville is 83 points behind Rovanpera in the fight for the championship, but like 4 minutes back in the second Hyundai. So it's not as if you can say, well, he's in superior machinery. And the Toyota is superior machinery in many conditions. He's just so good. And, you know, it seems like now, let's flip things around a little bit, because on the last podcast, the second half, we heard from the drivers and team managers. Let's flip it round and hear from him right now, because he's got that, you know, that if I can sort of use a bit of a cultural stereotype, that finish thing going on where he is brutally fast on the road, and yet when the Finns talk about their racing afterwards, it just sounds like they're so, like, they're reclined, they're laid back, and he is so laid back when you hear him talk. Let's have a little listen here to Callie Rovanperä talking after another win.
Nice weekend. Big fight already from the beginning with the guys opening the road, and yeah, then Elfin was all the time there giving pressure also. So it was a nice weekend, proper rally driving and nice stages. Yeah, I think I haven't seen rains like this anywhere else before. It seemed that every time we had a break or road section, there was sunshine and stuff, and then when we are on the start line, it's always raining or something. And yeah, quite extreme conditions a few times.
An impressive final stage from you today.
I saw that there was some rain before, heavy rain for the guys. Then a bit less and less all the time for the last cars to come through. So yeah, I knew that there might be a chance for us to have a good position to start the stage. And yeah, then I just pushed for it and the time was good.
Okay, that's some of the press conference audio that they very kindly supplied to the Autosport podcast for us to use on the podcast today. Tom, so what do you make of some of the things that he talked about there after his win?
You're right, he's typically understated. He must realise that what he's doing is phenomenal, but he's just so calm with it all. It's interesting in a way. It's kind of, from a journalist point of view, it's kind of, a little bit annoying that he doesn't get more excited about what he's doing. But you have to admire it. You have to admire the fact that he's just so cool, calm, collected. But I guess the point we need to make here is that the area where he is having advantage is in these wet and slippery conditions. So three times Elfin and Callie have gone up against each other for a rally win. And the three times the rain has come down in Portugal, Kenya, and now here, he's just had something else that he can offer, and Elfin has no answer in reply.
But he did on Friday. But Evan started the weekend really well. He dominated early part of Friday.
Yeah, absolutely. So just to recap that, obviously Elfin started Friday. He won five stages on the bounce and a lead of 19.9 seconds over Callie. Now, some of that was down to a bit, that was dry to begin with, the rally. So there was a bit of cleaning for Callie to do, being first on the road. And you have to remember Elfin was, I believe, sixth on the road. So he had much better conditions. But yes, you're right. Elfin was in the zone and was looking very much like the Elfin that we saw in Finland last year when he absolutely monstered that event and won it. So there was genuine hope here that Elfin's going to do this. There's a very strong chance. But again, the rain came down on that last stage on Friday. And this is where Callie is so ruthless and clever, is that because he was first on the road, it just worked slightly better in his favour in terms of the conditions were bad, but they got worse for the rest of the field. And he knew that, and he could have just backed off because it was pretty slippery, but because he knew it was going to get worse, he decided to push. And that is where he got the 22.6 second swing over Elfin to give him the platform to win this rally. So it's just the smartness of being able to think like that while those conditions are going on at the age of 21, which is just leaving everyone staggered. Because at this rate, if he carries on like this, he could be a 9-time world champion by the time he's 30.
And you just, when you say that out loud, it just seems absolutely bonkers, doesn't it?
Yeah, well, this is the thing. Sebastien Ogier won his first title age 29. Callie's probably going to do this at 21. So it's just, we are living in a very, very special moment here in WRC. You're seeing something quite remarkable, and I don't think it will be repeated again.
When you watch those live shots as well over the weekend, and they cut away to sort of the teams, you know, you see the team bosses and everyone sitting around, you know, watching it. Even, you know, these kind of, they're probably, you know, hardcore rally mechanics and people that have been around the sport for a long time. You can even tell on their faces, right? They're just watching it a little bit open mouthed and a little bit just like, that is huge respect for what he's doing. Okay, so it's his team they cut away to, and obviously they're going to be overjoyed. But he was the youngest WRC winner this time last year. It actually was this time last year. It was the 18th of July last year. So And the event was exactly the same time last year. He was 20 years old and 289 days to be the youngest winner of a World Rally Championship event. He'd then go on to win Acropolis after that. And then this year is dominant. Now, you know, that phrase champion elect is sometimes used to sort of describe someone who's got it in the bag and they're just sort of counting down until it's definitely going to happen. But you have to say, as the season goes on, we can increasingly call him champion elect. Or is it, you know, is it too soon? Because, you know, you in racing...
No, it's not too soon.
People have a big,
not too soon.
People have a big shunt, they break a leg or whatever, so things can change, but...
Oh, of course, of course.
If that doesn't happen...
Things can change.
You know,
things can change, but you have to say he's got one hand on the title now, and it's July. That's the phenomenal thing about this. He's got one hand on the title in July. He's got an 83-point lead. He could... I think Jari Matti even said in the press conference he can throw it off the road three times and still have the lead.
Yes.
So, which is a luxury, a super luxury to have. But he's not going to want to do that. And that is the beauty of Caleb Rampere, is that he just doesn't want to stop. Like, he's so ruthless. He doesn't need to win these stages. He doesn't need to win 14 stages. Doesn't need to get the power stage points. But he just wants to. Like, he just wants to go out there and just... show what he can do. Of course, there is going to come a moment, and obviously we don't, you know, touch wood, we don't want it to be a drama, but surely at some point there's going to be a drama. Like, this cannot carry on for a whole season. Surely there will be at some point where he comes undone. Because you have to remember, he hasn't actually retired from a rally since last year, which was Finland, actually, last year. So he's gone on a run. He's had a 12-month period where he's won 7 rallies from 13. And I believe his worst finish is 9th in that period, and he's only been off the podium 4 times. So it's a remarkable record, whichever way you look at it. And it just goes to show that it is the very definition of that classic case of, oh, once they've got that first win and the monkey off their back, you know, the floodgates will open. Well, this is the very definition of that. You are seeing that now. And people just don't know what to say anymore about him. It's very hard to sort of do him justice.
Let's talk a little bit about the effect that it's having on his competitors as well, who are all strong, mentally strong competitors. Elfyn Evans was second in the second Toyota. Let's have a listen to him now talking afterwards. You know, obviously not happy about coming home second, because all racers want to finish first, and that's what he begins by talking about here.
I don't think you'd be ever fully happy, you know, when you finish second. Sort of a tale of two halves in a way. Happy to be at least on the podium again, but disappointed to not be a bit more competitive. It was tricky out there in certain sections of the weekend.
He's got a scary points advantage now in terms of the championship title. What is your thought?
Yeah, it's a pretty. It was already a pretty long reach, and it just got longer, you know. So, of course, like I mentioned already, it doesn't change the approach. We're still there to go to every rally and do the best for ourselves, and of course the team as well. So it doesn't change so much.
So there we go. You know, he found some positives in coming home second. He's closed the gap. He's third in the championship now behind Neuville. Elfyn Evans on 79 points, Neuville 92, and Rampere 175 points in the championship. But from your experience, because you've been going, you've been travelling around the world this year, and you're there in the service parks and you're talking to everyone, what is this domination doing to his competitors? Are they getting their heads down almost, or is there still some optimism there? What's your opinion on how he's beating down his opposition?
I think when, you know, Elfyn is offering him praise for the way he's driving sort of says it all, really, because you just have to, I think as a competitor, you just have to take your hat off when you see quality like that. There's no other way to deal with it, I think. You have to just sort of put this in that sort of mental mindset of, look, we are seeing something quite extraordinary here. So, like, I think, but you're right, this could completely destroy anyone's confidence. But yeah, I think everyone's sort of just kind of, I guess, like I think Elfyn said there, like, it's just made a long shot even longer for him in the title race, which is just, I guess, the only way you can look at it. I mean, it's, they're in admiration. I think the other thing to bear in mind is that the Toyota is the best car at the moment. So if we're sort of looking towards his other rivals from outside of Toyota, you know, the Tanaks, the Neuvilles of this world at Hyundai, you know, they know that they're in a way fighting with one hand behind their backs because their car is not on the same level as a Toyota. You know, they've got their own battles going on, as we've documented numerous times. You know, it was a late development call on the car. There's been no development on it, really. You know, they're behind the eight ball. So they're, you know, for Hyundai to win a rally, that is a really extraordinary achievement at the moment because of where that car is. So what Tanak did in Sardinia should be remembered as quite an extraordinary achievement, really, to win that round. But yeah, and I guess with M Sport as well, their car's strong, but they're lacking experience in their driver lineup. So when Loeb is not there, they're relying heavily on Craig, and when Craig Breen is sort of struggling a little bit, you know, he's got pace, but he's only been able to deliver a couple of podiums so far, and the other drivers are relatively young. So it's, yeah, I can see how they would be looking at that and thinking, I'm not quite sure how you beat Cali at the moment.
Having a look at, as we head further down, we'll hear from Oit Tanak now. Like I say, previous Wynnum, the most successful driver of Rally Estonia in the past, and hear what he had to say afterwards. And let's hear a clip of him talking about his future, because it was put to him about some of the things that are going around the service park, particularly amongst some members of the media that are hearing things about a certain commitment to the sport from his team Hyundai. This is what he had to say about that.
I mean, Hyundai is definitely going to continue. There is great support from Korea, and for sure everybody wanted a lot, but it just needs some very, let's say, straightforward changes in a general structure. But we are working on it, and you know, this year definitely looks a bit difficult, but in the long term, it's important for the sport as well that we come back.
So yeah, pretty comprehensive denial there. And what have you heard, and what's your take? Because we think that Hyundai are here for the long term. What's your reading of them being in the sport?
You can fully understand why speculation like this is going around, and often there's no smoke without fire and with these things. So yeah, there's no doubt about it. Like, if you're a big car manufacturer and you're not going so well in a sport, and there's a sort of global cost crisis going on, and it's difficult to sell cars and build new cars at the moment, you can understand why any manufacturer might consider walking away from a motorsport activity, because at the end of the day, this is a sort of luxury item. Yes, it is a marketing tool, but it is a sort of luxury item. So just to put that into sort of context, you can understand why such rumours would go around. And certainly after Monte Carlo, after that sort of horror show that they had there, there were sort of some rumours even kicking around after that. And, you know, when you look at the situation that they've been dealt, you know, obviously a team, their long-time teamed principal Andrea Adamo left in the winter. So there was certainly some upheaval in the camp. And we've obviously reported that there's been some complications internally with the team structure, with the sort of lack of leadership at the moment, and parts supply crisis. So, you know, they've had to deal with a lot. And to be fair, it's been a tough ask for them. You know, you have some sympathy for them, because, you know, they've been dealt a pretty raw hand here. So the interesting thing for me, I think, is that just a couple of weeks ago, they announced a three-year extension. The WRC Hyundai team announced the three-year extension with Shell, their title sponsor. So if you were going to pull out of a sport, why would you do that? I'm not totally sure. I mean, obviously, these things can be undone, but that seems like a sort of bizarre move if you weren't committed to the sport. So obviously, we don't want them to see them go, because it'd be hugely detrimental to the WRC. You know, we need Hyundai there, but we also need them there as a competitive force. So look, let's not forget, they won two manufacturers' titles on the bounce. They know how to build a car and deliver a strong, you know, a strong weapon for Oit Tanak and Thierry Neuville. So it's just been the circumstances, I think, that's left them in this situation. They can turn this around, but this is not going to be a job that you can turn around overnight. It's going to going to take it. As Oit Tanak said on the rally, there are fundamental problems with the development of this car, and that can only have happened because of the rushed process that they had to do to get it ready for Monte Carlo. So, you know, they're trying their best to get this right. They've got a moved to a test base in Finland on gravel this year, which is new. So they've got access to the facilities to develop this car, because in the past they've only had a tarmac facility at their base in Germany. So they are obviously trying to make steps, but it's a difficult one. And I guess Tanak's words were interesting there, because that's the first time publicly anything has been said about this, and he shot it down pretty hard. And for someone who would be hugely frustrated with the scenario that's going on, it would be easy for him to say, yep, I'm moving on, I'm going somewhere else, or, you know, this is all coming down. So I think that was an encouraging statement from Oit there, and let's just hope that they can turn it around, because we do need Hyundai back up there.
Absolutely. We did see a small 10-second time penalty for him over the weekend. What was that for?
Yeah, so that's, again, it's just classic Hyundai season, really, isn't it? You know, the first time that they had no reliability issues, they get penalised for not running in an electric mode in an electric-only zone, which is just such a silly, when you think about it, it's such a silly thing to get penalised for, because it's just, you know it's you know you've got to do it. It's in the road book. Like, you know, just put it in electric mode.
But, yeah.
You know, people make mistakes, don't they? So no one's perfect. What was perhaps interesting with this one is that earlier this year, those situations have been going on, but for the most part, they've been given drivers have been given reprimands rather than time penalties. So I asked why this was a time penalty, and it was put to me that this was because it was genuinely the fault of the driver and co-driver in this situation, whereas in previous times, like, it had, you know, like they'd forgotten when they were driving off start ramps and stuff like that, which was sort of seen as a sort of like, well, you know, we'll turn a blind eye to it. But when you're in a rally, and this was actually on the Thursday night, then it was sort of seen as, well, you should know better. You didn't have a problem with the system. Like, you should have just put it in electric mode. So I can kind of understand it. But so that was how that happened.
And in the second Hyundai, Thierry Neuville, and we watched some of the onboards, like you say, he's just not attacking the road in the way that Cali is attacking it. Is there a lack of confidence there or not? What do you think?
Yeah, that's he's just not able to. Like, it's not because he's not trying. He just doesn't have the ability to have the confidence that the car will stick. And you have to remember that these guys are doing quite, frankly, mad things in the cars. Like, you are relying, your life is being is in the hands of the co-driver, and that you'll commit that your car will stick in these corners. And they've just, that is one of the fundamental problems with the Hyundai, is that in the real fast stuff, and this is the first time we got to see it, this is really the first fast gravel rally that we've seen, it has got very little grip and stability in the rear. So the car will just step out, and all three drivers were fighting this the entire weekend. As a result, Hyundai are now going to look at this because they've admitted that there is a fundamental problem with this car. So they have plenty of what they call jokers, which is these what you can do is you can play like a sort of development token, I suppose is how you describe it, but like they used to have in Formula One. Each team gets a certain amount of these that they can play during the year, where they can change something that is homologated on the car. So this is what they'll do now. They'll go in, have a look. But again, this is not something that can be changed overnight. This will take some time to work out. So they've got plenty of these jokers and development tokens up their sleeve, because they haven't actually used any on the chassis yet. So they've got plenty to use. But again, it's just time and working out how they fix this. So, so the reason for Thierry's lack of pace is he's simply just didn't have the confidence. He also isn't a fan of this rally. He's not really known for his fast gravel rally pace. He's, you know, very much on the you get the best out of Thierry on tarmac and in those more trickier gravel events. So it wasn't going to be his favorite to begin with, but certainly the car sort of compounded his woes.
Two more questions for you. We'll talk about the next two Toyotas of Katsuta and Lappi. They came home fifth and sixth, respectively. And then we'll finish off talking about M Sport just to finish off the podcast today. Good result for Katsuta in fifth, but started the weekend with shakedown, at least. Looked like he ran a little wide in some soft gravel, managed to roll it in the bushes. What happened there?
Yeah, of course. Yeah, he's, when you think about, like, as I said, like, thinking about that now, it feels like a lifetime ago that
yeah,
shakedown.
I know. Hence, but Monday morning after a busy weekend. It's like, when was that?
Was was that this rally? It was. basically, just got caught out in the wet there. Like, shakedown was held in the wet. And you have to remember that the weather was particularly tough for these guys on the weekend, because it was just this classic case of, it would just be sudden cloudbursts and then it would be bright sunshine, and it would just keep doing this throughout the rally. So it made, I couldn't imagine how tough that would have been for the drivers and co-drivers, because like, how do you, like, you just don't know what sort of weather you're going to get, what sort of grip you're going to have. Like, you're just going into things blind most of the time. It's just crazy. Just, you're just sitting there watching this in awe, really. Like, I don't know how they do it, but yeah, so Katsuta just ran wide, rolled a couple of times. And to be fair to him, very lucky, because he landed on his wheels. And I'll be honest with you, there wasn't a great deal of damage from the outside. It looked like he'd really escaped one there. And it didn't worry him at all. The team repaired it, and he was back underway that evening for the first stage. So yeah, but he drove really well, very smartly throughout. Actually, after doing something like that, you could be your confidence could be quite dented, but he was very clever. And he was quite funny. He's a very likable character, and this was his fifth attempt at Rally Estonia, and the first time he'd actually reached the finish. So he was pretty happy to get there, because it's not been one of his happy hunting grounds.
And let's just finish off talking about M Sport, a challenging rally for the Ford cars. Adrian Formeau emerging as their only driver in the points, coming home seventh. Looks like he's finding his feet a little bit again this season, but otherwise it was a difficult, difficult weekend for M Sport. Just sum up what happened there for our listeners.
Yeah, of course. It's, again, another difficult one for them. They obviously came in with some very high hopes, certainly attached to Craig Breen, because he's finished this event second in the previous two seasons. So this is one of the ones he really goes well at. And he was right in the mix from the start, won the first stage, was in contention early on Friday morning, but he just made an error, misjudged the braking going into a left-hander, ran wide into the grass, which seemed innocuous at the time, but little did he know that in the grass was buried quite a significant concrete post, which he hit, and that broke the steering, and that was game over. He did return on Saturday and got through to Sunday, but that was any hopes of any points gone out the window, and that less sort of left the pressure on the rest of the M Sport guys. Pierre-Louis Loubet was going very well until the chaos of the rain ensued on Friday night stage, where three people got caught out in the same corner, but he was the worst. He sort of went over this jump here, which he said was like driving on ice, went straight to a bank, rolled on his side. Luckily the fans sort of came to push him back onto his wheels, but he lost 2 minutes there, and that was sort of put the end to that. And then he actually retired on Sunday with a sort of clumsy error where he just hit a rock with the front wheel, and that damages the suspension, and that was retirement. And for Gus Greensmith, he knocked a tire off the rim, which cost him time after landing on from a jump awkwardly. And it just seemed to fall away from them. Formeau was just, he needed a round like this.
Oh, did he ever to make up for earlier this year?
But he was just solid throughout, barely made a mistake. And this was what he needed. Didn't push, like he could have pushed and really threw it off the road here, because it was easy to do that, as we saw. Very, very smart drive for him. And I think he really will benefit from that because, yeah, he needed the result. So, as I said, we should probably just cap a couple of wild things that happened, because Rally does tend to throw up some bizarre situations. But yeah, so Oliver Solberg had probably the save of the season, where he was He was brilliant on Saturday afternoon, and very, very close to getting a stage win. In fact, Formo pipped him by 0.1 seconds, which is so hard for him because he's yet to win a stage. It would have been great for him to get one on the board. But yeah, he flicked over this jump sideways and was just heading direct for a tree. Like, it looked like it was going to be a one-way ticket to Shunttown. And he somehow, I don't know how he did this, but he wrestled this back and got it on the road. We actually posted the clip on social media, and if you get a chance to look at it, please do, because it really is quite phenomenal how he did that. Don't know how he did it, but yeah, that was impressive. And co-driver for Oit Tanak, Martin Yavioia, was perhaps one of the quickest of thinking of people on Friday night, when the heating pipe, of all things, inside the cockpit of Tanak's car just disconnected and misted up his screen, so Oit couldn't see where he was going. He fired off the road, but the quick thinking of Martin, he managed to prop the pipe up with his foot, his left foot, while still calling the notes. Yeah, incredible. I've never seen anything like that before, but the quick thinking and you know, the nous to be able to do that as well as call the notes at, you know, 100 k's an hour, that I'll take my hat off to him. Brilliant.
Which is a wonderful segue into Rally Finland, where we head next, where you head next, because yes. well because that could be you propping something up with your foot while calling the notes.
Oh, I just really hope not.
As we get ever closer, you're getting nervous yet about your debut in the car?
Absolutely, and certainly. Yeah, when Takamoto rolled on the shakedown, I was a little bit concerned, shall we say? yes, yeah, no, of course it'll be fine, but I don't think I'll be doing any of those antics. I think I'll be barely able to call the notes, let alone they'll be able to think about propping up a pipe with my foot. It's going to be a bit interesting. We'll see how it goes. We're going to have to do a fair bit of practice over the next few days.
What are you doing to practice?
Well, I'll just be honest with you. I'm watching. I've got access to all of Takamoto's onboards, so I'm literally just watching and listening how his co-driver Aaron Johnston does the notes and what system he uses, and just trying to get a feel for like how he does it, and then. Kindly enough, on the WRC 10 PlayStation 5 game, there is a co-driver mode which you can use to team up with someone online, and you can call notes for them. So I'm doing that at the moment, trying to sort of do it that way, just to sort of get a feel for it. But I'm not quite sure how well that's going to help, but... Yeah. We'll do the best we can. I can't promise that it's gonna go well, but it'll be a good experience nonetheless.
We cannot wait to see it, to hear about it, to read what you write about your very first experience in the car. It's gonna be awesome. Right, thank you very, very much for joining us once again on the podcast. Make sure you are following us in all the usual places on Twitter. We are at Autosports. You can follow our coverage on motorsport.com and autosport.com as well of everything that happens between now and Rally Finland on the 7th of August. Thank you for tuning in, and we'll see you soon.